wanted to lead off this last segment with our guest, Senator Chris Larson, on the topic of intent and deliberate efforts. Because Senator, it sounds like a lot of what you are trying to find out is kind of how deliberate everything was. In other words, how prearranged it was, who thought about it ahead of time, were other people involved in this scheme to send off fake electoral votes to Congress as representative of the state of Wisconsin's electoral votes. And, you know, in criminal law, which is the courts that I practice in, you know, you look to those things to ask jurors or judges to make judgments about intent, right? We say, well, you know, if you walked out of the house, put on your coat, grabbed your car keys, put the keys in the ignition, drove towards, you know, a certain destination, you intended to go there, right? You meant all of those things that day. And it sounds mm-hmm. like you're kind of trying to track down the same stuff. Tell me why that's important to you.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. That there's, because I think that there is so much, so little attention, unfortunately, attention span that the media may have and that the public may have to things. And I think it's important to make sure that we keep talking about this and also make sure that we're talking about it, that this isn't something that just, you know, that somebody said, hey, this is an idea, like a press release that we'll put off and say, gosh, you know, we really wish Donald Trump would have won. Let's put these electors out and see, you know, as a statement. That this was the chair of the Republican Party, that now we know that the future congressman was involved, the leader of the state Senate Republicans was involved, and then nine other people who are high up within the Republican Party of the state. And then it spanned across four other states where they used the, like I said earlier, the Mad Libs document that from all indications looks like Rudy Giuliani and the Trump campaign supplied. And then you pair that with like, look, this is all part of the same story. Where Donald Trump and his chief of staff were down in Georgia asking for additional votes from the Secretary of State at the time. And frankly, it hasn't stopped, right? You know, we had 15 state elected officials who wrote a letter on January 5th, 15 Republicans, one senator and 14 state reps, asking Mike Pence not to certify the election. And, you know, in chilling language now, what they say in it is saying, look, we want to figure this out back here in the legislature. And if we don't like what we see, and if we think that there's fraud, then we can decertify the election or certify it, right? Which now we know was part of the plan for them to come forward and say, we don't trust this. And so therefore the state legislature is going to overturn the will of the 3 million plus voters last month at the time. And then just put Donald Trump into office, despite him clearly having lost and having exhausted every legal remedy, right? The end result of that is we lose our democratic republic, right? We lose the presidency and we are no longer a democracy. And there is no recourse after that if they just can overturn everything. So that I think is making sure that the people recognize that. And recognize that the latest thing that's happened ever since then, right? Michael Gableman's, circus of a investigation. He's attacking the usual host of this, right? Mark Thompson, and having a Racine sheriff come out and say, "Ah, oh, these guys should be jailed." This is all part of the same story to try and muck it up, so that when the next election rolls around, things are a little bit easier, a little bit smoother, and it's not as unexpected if they decide to overturn the entire will of the people, right?
You keep saying something's broke. You repeat it's broke. You repeat, have other people repeat it's broke. You find five different things that you say are broken about it. And the next time comes around and you can more easily convince people that it's got to be fixed, right? Right. Talk about a fix. You did a little bit of a shift there from the fake electors topic to the electeds signing the letter to Pence. So remind our listeners again, when was that letter penned?
January 5th, 2021. So after the election, and right before the day before Mike Pence and Congress was getting together the Electoral College to count the electoral votes across the country, right? And that was to put pressure to, you know, that was where Trump was putting pressure on him. The records now show, as you put it, intent, that there was deliberate intent by Trump to say, Mike Pence, you know, be brave and over and do what he needs to do.
I'm sorry for the interruption, Senator, but if he does it, all these things are being cooked at once, right? So you've got the dish, you've got the sauce, you know, so to speak, you know, you can add it all together. So you have the electors, here's the electors. Yep. Maybe at the same time, you kick it back to the legislatures. The legislatures take a look and say, yeah, there is a problem. And we think the duly elected electors are the posh conference room secondary electors that signed the pledge. And it all comes together to make a dish.
Right. Exactly. It's the recipe for how to end America.
If you wrote this, it wouldn't even be believable. It would.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, a year ago, I guess a year in 40 days ago. But oh, my goodness.
Right.
Our producer, Evan, has been shaking his head as he's listening to attorneys and Senator Larson this past hour. You know, it also reminds me just a little bit of kind of the January 6th is a much larger and more drastic version of the kind of disruption in the aftermath of the Bush versus Gore challenges in Florida, when there was that one point when, you know, basically disruptors were dispatched on like the county elections office in South Florida, right? Just to kind of scare the heck out of everybody and disrupt the process so that further litigation and efforts to kind of stop the counting could go on. It's a little bit of a model playbook. Well, I said I wanted to ask you during the break, I said I wanted to ask you a personal question, Senator, and here it is. And I think this is what a lot of people wonder. You know, they watch people like you, they watch people like me as lawyers fight things out, you know, in courts, in the hallways of our state house, and in the public. And I think what we wonder is sometimes when you pass each other in the hallway, when you're accusing each other of basically trying to disrupt democracy in our country, in our state and in our country, you know, do you still have a high, nice day with each other as you pass some of these people, or how bad is it? Can you give us a little bit of personal insight?
It is not as friendly as it used to be, and it was never that friendly since I was first elected 11 years ago now. So I would say there's only, you know, a handful of Republicans that I actually talk to on a regular basis. And the only time we talk, it has nothing to do with anything that's happening within the building. And that is, it becomes really, really, really tough, right? And frankly, I think that there's a, it's dangerous because, you know, the people, they think like they can justify it, especially when they're in an echo chamber that says, this is what you need to do. This is what everyone's doing. Let's overturn it. And we're living in our own echo chamber, right? That is reality. And so it becomes really hard. It's not like they're, you know, movies do a disservice because it's not like they're sitting in a dark room with smoke and like coming up with this stuff. They're just like, hey, yeah, Democrats probably cheated, you know? So let's just jump in here and do it.
And you're all talking to yourselves and you justify it. And so there's less conversation in the hallway. That's a great perspective you just gave us, because you were elected in the aftermath of Act 10 and the protests surrounding that. Senator,
it's
been a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. And I appreciate you being here tonight. Craig.